الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، begin reading in the third chapter. The author, he mentioned, حفظه الله تعالى القلوب آنية. القلوب آنية, that the hearts, they are vessels, they are containers. And he mentioned عن أبي عنابة الخولاني رضي الله عنه يرفعه إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال إن لله آنية من أهل الأرض وآنية ربكم قلوب عباده الصالحين وأحبها إليه ألينها وأرقها. رواه الطبراني في المعجم الكبير وفي مسند الشامئين. The author, he mentioned the narration of Abu Inabah al-Khawlani radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ آنِيَةً مِنْ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ. إِنَّ لِلَّهِ آنِيَةً مِنْ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ, that indeed Allah, he has vessels from the people of the earth. وَآنِيَةُ رَبِّكُمْ قُلُوبُ عِبَادِهِ الصَّالِحِينَ, that the vessels of your Lord are the hearts of his righteous slaves. وَأَحَبُّهَا إِلَيْهِ أَلِيَانُهَا وَأَرَقُّهَا, and the most beloved to him are the soft and tender ones. Are the soft and tender ones. I mean the soft and tender hearts. It's narrated by Al-Tabarani in his work Al-Mu'jam Al-Kabir, and also in another work he has, Rahimahullah, Musnad al-Shami'in. He says, قال الحافظ العراقي رواه الطبراني وإسناده جيد وقال الحيثمي إسناده حسن. He says that it's been mentioned by الحافظ العراقي that he said that this narration is narrated by الطبراني and the إسناد is good, the chain is good, meaning that it is reported authentically. Meaning that it is reported authentically on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And likewise, al-Haythami, he mentioned as well, isnad hasan, that the chain is hasan, meaning that the narration is authentic on the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The author, he says, لقد شبه sallallahu alaihi wasallam قلوب العباد بالآنية. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has resembled the hearts of the slaves to vessels. وَحَالَ كُلِّ إِنَاءٍ بِمَا جُعِلَ فِيهِ مِنْ خَيْرٍ أَوْ شَرٍ, and likewise resembled the circumstance of every vessel with that which has been placed in it from goodness and evil. كَمَا قِيلَ, as has been mentioned, كل إناء بالذي فيه ينضح, that every vessel, it is flowing with that which is in it. It is flowing with that which is in it. فقلوب الأبرار تغلي بالخير والبر. فقلوب الأبرار تغلي بالخير والبر. So the hearts of the righteous, they're moving. They're moving with goodness and piety. They're moving with goodness and piety, obedience, with khair, yani with goodness, with bir, yani at-ta'a, yani obedience and righteousness, at-ta'a wa salah. The hearts of the righteous, tagli, yani tataharrak, they're tagli, yani boiling, meaning they're moving with goodness and piety, wa kulubul fujjar tagli bil ithmi wal fujur, and the hearts of the wicked, they're boiling with sin and wickedness and evil. They're boiling with sin, wickedness and evil. Yani that's what their hearts are moving with. قال مالك ابن دينار رحمه الله إن الأبرار تغلي قلوبهم بأعمال البر وإن الفجار تغلي قلوبهم بأعمال الفجور والله يرى همومهم فانظروا همومكم يرحمكم الله. رواه أبو نعيم في الحلية. So he mentioned here that it's been narrated by Malik ibn Dinar, rahimahullah. He's from the reliable narrators of hadith from the Tabi'een. He died in the year 127, rahimahullah. He says that the heart, the righteous, their hearts are moving with the actions of piety and righteousness. And the hearts of the wicked and evil, their hearts are moving with the actions of evil and indecency. And indeed, Allah, He sees your intentions. So therefore, look into your intentions. May Allah have mercy on you. It's been narrated by Abu Nu'aym fi al-Hilya. The first narration was narrated by At-Tabarani. He died in the year 360 from the great scholars of Hadith, and also declared reliable and good. The chain was also declared good and reliable from Al-Iraqi. He died in the year 806. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. And this narration here is narrated by Abu Nu'aym fi al-Hiliyah. Fi al-Hilya, yani it's a work called Hilyatu al-Awliya. Abu Nu'aym al-Asbahani rahimahullah, he died in the year 430. These are some other great books of narrations, books of hadith, references for the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that may not be so famous to the layman. At-Tabarani, he has a number of works. From the most famous of them, the one mentioned here, Al-Mu'jam al-Kabir. And then also he has Al-Mu'jam al-Awsat. And also he has Al-Mu'jam al-Sagir. And also he has the other one mentioned here, Musnad al-Shami'in. And a number of other works. Likewise, Rahimahullahu Ta'ala. And Abu Nu'aym al-Isbahani, he also has a number of works, Mustakhraj, which is about Mustalah Hadith. And from the most famous works he has here is this one here, known as Hilyatu al-Awliya. Hilyatu al-Awliya. And the people of knowledge refer to it as Al-Hilya. And it's a book about the biographies of the Salaf. And he mentions benefits in those biographies with chain of narration from those individuals. So the author, he says, now قال عبد الله بن مالك رحمه الله إن لله في الأرض آنية لا يقبر منها إلا السلبة الرقيقة الصافي لا يقبر منها إلا السلبة الرقيقة الصافي. That it's been, he says here that Abdullah ibn Malik rahimahullah, he mentioned that indeed Allah, he has, that indeed Allah, he has in the earth aniya, yani vessels, and he does not accept from them except that which is sulb, yani that which is firm, والرقيق, that which is tender and soft, and that which is As-safi, as-sulb, wal-raqiq, wal-safi, the heart that is as-sulb, al-raqiq, as-safi, as-sulb, meaning that is firm, al-raqiq, meaning that is soft and tender, as-safi, meaning that is pure and clean. Qala as-sulbu fi ta'ati Allah, al-raqiqu inda dhikri Allah, wal-safi al-naqi min al-daran, رواه ابن أبي شيبة في المصنف.
He says السلب meaning that it's firm in the obedience of Allah. الرقيق meaning that it's soft and tender, meaning at the remembrance of Allah. الصافي the one that is pure, يعني النقي من الدرن, the one that is clean and pure from filth. And the أدران go back to two aspects. أدران الشبهات وأدران الشهوات, the filth that comes to the heart, the filth that comes and pollutes and corrupts the heart, goes back to two major affairs, the filth of the doubts and misconceptions and the filth of the impermissible desires and lusts that are forbidden. He says, رواه ابن أبي شيبة في المصنف. Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shayba rahimahullahu ta'ala, he died in the year 235. From the great scholars of hadith, he has a great work called Musannaf ibn Abi Shayba, which is a great work of hadith, collecting narrations that are considered marfu'ah and narrations that are considered mawqufa and even maqtu'ah, and in narrations from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani with his chain, and also narrations back to the companions رضي الله عنهم, with his chain, as well as the tabi'een in those days. And so this is from those works that you will find many of the athar of the salaf and the likes of the works called al-musannafat. So it says, وَقَوْلُهُ فِي الْحَدِيثِ, and the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the narration, وَأَحَبُّهَا إِلَيْهِ أَلِيَنُهَا وَأَرَقُّهَا, and the most beloved of these vessels, meaning the hearts, to Allah Azza wa Jal, are the softest and the most tender. لِأَنَّ الْقَلْبَ إِذَا لَانَ وَرَقَّ صَارَ كَالْمِرْآةِ الصَّافِيَةِ فَقَبِلَ الْخَيْرَ وَوَعَاهُ بِمَا رُزِقَ مِنَ الصَّفَاءِ والنقاء بخلاف القلوب غير النقية فإنها لا ينفذ إليها الحق ولا تقبله ولا تقبله. He says the reason for this, and in the fact that it's mentioned here that the most beloved of these vessels or these containers, the most beloved of these hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَلْيَنُوهَا وَأَرَقُّهَا, the softest and the most tender. The Shaykh, he mentioned Hafidhullah because the heart, if it softens and becomes tender, then it will become like a clear and clean mirror. And it will accept the goodness and comprehend and understand that. Because of what it has been sustained from purity and cleanliness. Because of what it has been provided from purity and cleanliness. And this is contrary to the hearts that are not clean. Because the hearts that are not clean, indeed, the truth is not able to reach them. And nor do those hearts accept it. And nor do they accept it. The author, he mentioned, ثُمَّ إِنَّ حَرَكَةَ اللِّسَانِ تَدُلُّ عَلَى مَا فِي الْقَلْبِ مِنْ خَيْرٍ أَوْ شَرٍ. And then, along with this, that which has preceded, the movements of the tongue indicate that which is in the heart from goodness and from evil. From goodness and from evil. And it's because the hearts, they're in the breasts. And that which the hearts contain are from the affairs of the unseen. But that which indicates and clarifies that which is in the heart is that which comes out from the tongue. That which is displayed in the person's speech first and foremost. Also following after that his actions, but more clearly and more direct, that which is spoken with the tongue. He says, كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى, just as Allah the Most High, He says, لَتَعْرِفَنَّهُمْ فِي لَحْنِ الْقَوْلِ. Indeed, you will know them in the tone or the manners of their speech. And you will know the hypocrites and the people who have deviation in their heart from the slips on their tongue and their positions and stances that they make in times of difficulty and hardship in the tone that they speak with. And they will be exposed eventually. They will be exposed eventually from the movements of their own tongue. They will be exposed eventually from their very own speech. أي لا بد أن يظهر ما في قلوبهم. He says the meaning of this verse, لتعرفنهم, ولتعرفنهم في لحن القول, meaning that it's a must that that which is in their hearts will be made apparent. ويتبين بفلتات ألسناتهم, ويتبين بفلتات ألسناتهم, and the slips of their tongue and the movements of their tongue will clarify eventually that which is in their hearts. فَإِنَّ الْأَلْسُنَ مَغَارِفُ الْقُلُوبِ يَظْهَرُ مِنْهَا مَا فِي الْقُلُوبِ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ وَالشَّرِ. Because indeed, the tongues, they're like the spoons for the hearts. And by way of them, that which is in the hearts become clear. That which is in the hearts from good or from evil, that which is in the hearts from good and evil is made apparent. And by way of the tongues. And he's referring to the resemblance the people of knowledge make, that the hearts, as is in the narration here, are like vessels. And that which dishes out, that which is in the vessel, is the spoon. Is with the spoon and the ladle. You'll take the spoon and dish it out and put it on the plate and serve it in this manner. So in the same way, the tongues, they dish out for a person that which is in it, that which is in his heart. That which is in his heart. So he says, قَالَ يَحْيَى بُنْ مُعَاذِ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهِ الْقُلُوبُ كَالْقُدُورِ فِي الصُّدُورِ تَغْرِي بِمَا فِيهَا وَمَغَارِفُهَا أَلْسِنَاتُهَا. He says that it has been mentioned by يَحْيَى بِنْ مُعَاذِ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهِ that the hearts are like pots in the breast, and they move. They're boiling, meaning they're moving with that which is in them. And the spoons are the tongues. فَانْبُرِ الرَّجُلَ حَتَّى يَتَكَلَّمَ فَإِنَّ لِسَانَهُ يَغْتَرِفُ لَكَ مَا فِي قَلْبِهِ فَانْتَظِرْ الرَّجُلَ حَتَّى يَتَكَلَّمُ. Wait for a man, Wait for a man until he speaks. فَإِنَّ لِسَانَهُ يَغْتَرِفُ لَكَ مَا فِي قَلْبِهِ مِنْ بَيْنِ حُلْوٍ وَحَامِضٍ وَعَذْبٍ وَأُجَاجٍ يُخْبِرُكَ عَنْ طَعْمِ قَلْبِهِ اِغْتِرَافُ لِسَانِهِ اِغْتِرَافُ لِسَانِهِ. So he says, you just wait for a man until he speaks, because indeed his tongue is going to dish out for you that which is in his heart, from that which is sweet or sour, or that which is pleasant and that which is bitter. That which his tongue dishes out informs you of the taste of his heart. يعني how the reality of his heart. يعني طعم قلبه يعني that which is in his heart. That which is in his heart. So he says, قال ابن قيم رحمه الله في كتابه الداء والدواء. And Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned رحمه الله in his work, The Disease and the Cure. أي كما تطعم بلسانك طعم ما في القدور من الطعام فتدرك العلم بحقيقته كذلك تطعم ما في قلب الرجل من لسانه فتذوق ما في قلبه من لسانه كما تذوق ما في القدر بلسانك. He says, commenting on this, Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned رحمه الله, that just as you taste with your tongue, just as you taste with your tongue the flavor of the food that is in the pots, and you are able to comprehend the true reality of that food, to taste it directly, like that as well, a person, he would taste that which is in the heart of a man by way of his tongue. So he would taste that which is in his heart by that which his own tongue dishes out, just as the way, so you can taste that which is in his heart from his tongue, just as you taste that which is in the pot by your tongue. The same way, if you want to taste the food in the pot, you taste it with your tongue. But if you want to taste that which is in the heart, and you want to know and understand that which is in the heart, then you wait for him to move his tongue. Then you wait for him to move his tongue. In this manner, it will be clarified. And they say someone can fool some of the people some of the time, but he cannot fool all of the people all of the time. So maybe someone, he will pretend or he will have hypocrisy in his heart, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, but Allah, he clarified this affair. وَلَتَعْرِفَنَّهُمْ فِي لَحْنِ الْقَوْلِ وَلَتَعْرِفَنَّهُمْ فِي لَحْنِ الْقَوْلِ. Indeed, you will know them by the ways of their speech. I mean, they're going to eventually expose their self, and their tongues will clarify the reality of that, especially whenever circumstances get tight and situations become difficult, and the likes like this, and the fitan befall, because the fitan, there are means to distinguish those who are truthful from those who are contrary, and those who are strong from those who are weak, and those who are believers from those who are hypocrites. And the greatest means to distinguish this and determine this is by the statements. It's by the statements that the people they make. So the author he says now, here it's not mentioned, but this is the end of the statement of Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So you see here it says, قال Ibn Qayyim في كتابه الداء والدواء, and then it has parentheses. Those parentheses are never closed in the print that I'm reading from. They need to be closed here after كما تذوق ما في القدر بلسانك. That's the end of the statement of Ibn Qayyim رحمه الله تعالى, and there should be a number there and a reference at the bottom back to that work, but there is a misprint here. After this, he says, وَرِقَّةُ الْقَلْبِ وَلِيُونَتُهُ تُعَدُّ عَلَامَةً دَقِيقَةً عَلَى صِحَّةِ الْقَلْبِ وَسَلَامَتِهِ غَيْرَ أَنَّهَا خَفِيَّةٌ لَا تُرَى. He says that the tenderness of the heart and its softness is considered from the detailed signs of the soundness of the heart, and that is correct and good, except that it's something that is hidden and not seen. فَلَا يَرَاهَا إِلَّا الْعَلِيمُ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ سُبْحَانَهُ. So no one will truly see that which is in the hearts except for the one who has knowledge of that which is in the breast, سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. إِلَّا أَنَّ ثَمَّةً على إلا أن ثمة علامات ظاهرة تدل على صحة القلب. Except for the fact that there are apparent signs that indicate the good health and condition of the heart. The good health and condition of the heart. Here in this point here, the author himself, Sheikh Abdul Razak, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, in his commentary of this particular work, he pointed out the fact that there was a misprint here. And then initially he referred the students to check and to verify where the end of the statement of Ibn Qayyim was, rahimahullah, by returning back to the book Ad-Dawa al-Dawa. So somebody had done that in the gathering, actually, briefly, and mentioned that it ended here. And this is what the Shaykh he was thinking, but he wanted to make sure. And then after they verified that the transmission from the statement of Ibn Qayyim ended at that point, then the reader, he began to read again. And then the Shaykh, he stopped, and he mentioned the way that he was able to determine that the statement of Ibn Qayyim stopped here and the statement of the author began here. And I read his comment, and I had taken the note, alhamdulillah. He says, الآن وأنا أسمع ميزت بين الكلامين. He said, now whenever I'm listening, and the reader, he read it again, he said, I distinguish between the two statements. He says, كلام ابن قيم وكلام المؤلف. I was able, after listening now, I was able to distinguish between the two statements, the statements of Ibn Qayyim and the statements of the author. He says, رحمه ta'ala, he says, حفظه الله تعالى, كلام ابن قيم متين قوي وكلام المؤلف ضعيف. وبهذا الذي اكتشفت الفرق بين الكلامين. نعم. He says, رحمه الله, he says, حفظه الله تعالى, and that is the fact that the statement here of Ibn Qayyim is strong and very good. And as for the statement of the author, then it's weak. And in this manner, I was able to realize where the two statements differed or ended and began. So he's saying that the author, his statements are weak. He's blaming the author, talking bad about him. Who's the author? Himself. That's from the humbleness of the people of knowledge. From the humbleness of the people of knowledge. They do great work and they think little of themselves. This issue will come, inshallah, in this chapter. And this is from the signs of the sound heart. From the signs of the sound heart, that a person, he's not deceived by his deeds nor his actions. Rather he thinks bad of himself and thinks good of his Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in any case, this was mentioned here, and this is a benefit that we learn from the people of knowledge, that they're humble, and they're not amazed with their actions and their deeds. Alhamdulillah. May Allah accept from the Shaykh. So he says, وَلَا يَلْزَمُ مِنْ وَجُودِهَا أَوْ عِلْمُ. He says, وَلَا يَلْزَمُ مِنْ وَجُودِهَا أَوْ عِلْمِ الْعَبْدِ بِهَا مِنْ نَفْسِهِ أَوْ مِنْ غَيْرِهِ أَنْ يُزَكِيَ نَفْسَهُ أَوْ غَيْرَهُ. He said, and it's not a requirement, the fact that these signs are found, or that a person, he knows about them in his own self or in others, that he will praise and give that person a great recommendation. And then he'll praise him outwardly. He'll say, oh, so-and-so is hard as this, and so-and-so is hard as that. If a person, he sees some of these signs in himself, or he sees them in someone else, that doesn't necessitate that he has to go and inform everyone, that he has to go and make it apparent and out loud, praising the people and recommending the people and giving them tazkiyat and the likes like this. He says, لِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى, based upon the statement of the Most High, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. So do not ascribe yourselves to piety and purity. لَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, and do not claim that you are righteous and pious. Do not say, oh, I'm righteous, I'm pious. أَنَا زَكِي, أَنَا تَقِي, أَنَا مُؤْمِن صَالِح, أَنَا نِيَتِي طَيِّبَةٌ. You don't say this about yourself. You hope that that's the case for yourself, but you don't say that about yourself. You strive upon that path, and you hope that Allah will cover your faults. But a person, he will not say that. فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Do not make tazkiyah of your own souls. And do not praise yourselves and claim that you are upon piety and purity and righteousness. Indeed, Allah, He has most knowledge of those who are pious. And then he says, لَكِنَّهَا عَلَامَاتٌ وَالشَّوَاهِدُ وَالدَّلَائِلُ عَلَى صِحَّةِ الْقَلْبِ. He says, but they are signs and evidences and proofs indicating the good health and soundness of the heart. فَإِذَا وَجَدْتَ فَإِذَا وُجِدَتْ فِي الْعَبْدِ فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ وَلْيُجَاهِدْ نَفْسَهُ عَلَى الْمُحَافَظَ عَلَيْهَا وَلْيَسْأَلَ رَبَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى الثَّبَاتِ. He says, if they are found in an individual, then he should praise Allah and thank Him. And he should strive against his own soul to uphold them and maintain them. And he should ask his Lord to grant him firmness upon that way. He says, وَأَبْرَزُ هَذِهِ الْعَلَامَاتِ الظَّاهِرَةِ فِيمَا ذَكَرَ الْعَلَّامَةُ ابْنُ قَيِّمَ الْجَوْزِيَّةِ رَحِيمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي كِتَابِهِ إِغَاثَةُ الْلَهْفَانِ سِتَّةُ عَلَامَاتِ. He says, in the most apparent of these outward signs, the most apparent, the most obvious of these apparent outward signs, from that which the great scholar Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, rahimahullah, he mentioned in his book, Ighathatu al-Lahafan, Sittatu alamat, six signs. Again, this is another reference to another work by Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, which is known as Ighathatu al-Lahafan. He mentioned six signs, and there are signs and evidences that the heart is sound, and that the heart is healthy, and that the heart is strong and good. He mentions them now. He says, Al-Ula, ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَالْمُوَاظَبَةُ عَلَى ذِكْرِهِ وَالْإِكْثَارُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَأَلَّا يَفْطُرَ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَسْأَمَ وَلَا يَمَلْ وَأَلَّا يَفْطُرَ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَسْأَمَ وَلَا يَمَلْ. He says, the first sign, from the signs of the soundness and the correctness and the good health and well-being of the heart, is the remembrance of Allah. Dhikrullah is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and making al-muwadhaba ala dhikrihi, wal-muwadhabatu ala dhikrihi, yani constant remembrance. Al-muwadhaba, you need to do something constantly, day in and day out, time after time, over and over, all throughout the day, all throughout the night, in every circumstance, in every situation. And to do that in abundance. وَلِكْثَارُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَأَلَّا يَفْطُرَ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَسْأَمَ وَلَا يَمَلْ. That he will not weary or fall weak, nor will he be tired or bored from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal is done with the tongue and with the heart, and likewise in application with the body parts. But even if a person, he fell weak physically, he can still remember Allah with his heart and with his tongue. And it's easy. And even a person, he can make some of the adhkar and the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, while no one will be able to witness or even know. Like the statement, La ilaha illallah. You can say that without moving your lips. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. So somebody may say that to himself, La ilaha illallah, and no one will see his lips moving. And this is from the indication of the obligation of al-ikhlas fi hadhihi al-kalima. Fi hadhihi al-kalima. Not many words you can say, not many entire statements you can say them without moving your lips. Without moving your lips. But the statement La ilaha illallah, you can say that without moving your lips. And an indication that it must be sincerity for the sake of Allah. No one can see you except your Lord, and no one knows about you and that statement and that creed and that belief truly except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The point from that is to remember that the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happens in a number of aspects, and it's very easy, alhamdulillah, for those whom Allah makes it easy for. May Allah make it easy for us to remember Him. So even if a person, he's physically tired, he will not be tired of remembering Allah and thanking Allah, and praising Allah, and glorifying Allah, and calling on Allah, and begging Allah, and the likes. This will be something that he will continue to do, even if he's physically tired, or even sick. So he says, قال الله تعالى, Allah the Most High, he says, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. Those who remember Allah standing and sitting, and while they're on their sides. And this is from the traits of the righteous and the noble and upright beloved believers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, annahum yadhkuruna Allah fi kulli ahyanihim kama kana an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yadhkuru rabbahu ala kulli ahyanihi. that they remember Allah in all of their circumstances and situations, just as the Prophet ﷺ used to remember Allah and mention Him and praise Him and thank Him and call on Him and glorify Him in every circumstance and situation. It's been reported authentically from Aisha radiallahu anha that she said just that, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يذكر الله على كل أحيانه, that the Prophet ﷺ, he would remember Allah in all of his circumstances and situations. And those who learn the adhkar of the morning and the evening, and likewise after the five daily prayers, as well as before, as well as waking and before sleeping, and that which is between that, putting on the clothes and entering into the home and leaving the home, and the rest of the daily adhkar that one he will memorize from the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, clarifies the great connection that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had with his Lord, and remembering Allah and praising Him and thanking Him in every circumstance. So by learning these daily sunan and understanding what they mean and striving to mention them and say them in these proper and the proper times that are specific, and the likes like this for some of them, and in the general times for those that are general with a heart that is alive, then this is from the greatest means to rectify and purify and clean and cleanse the heart, and for the heart to be firm and strong and to be tender and to be good and upright and beneficial and to be pure and clean and to be pure and clean. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. And Allah the Most High, He says, O you who believe, remember Allah in great remembrance, and often, ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا, an abundant remembrance. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, and Allah the Most High, He says, وَذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ, praising likewise the traits of the righteous from them, is that they are those who remember Allah often, the male from them and the females as well. So the Shaykh, he says, وَيَدْخُلُ فِي ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ تَعَلُّمُ الْعِلْمِ وَتَعْلِيمُهُ وَتَفَقُّهُ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. And that which is included in the dhikr of Allah the Most High, and the remembrance of Allah the Most High, is learning knowledge and teaching it and seeking an understanding in the deen of Allah. فَإِنَّ هَذَا مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, because indeed this is from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِنَ الْإِقَامَةِ لِذِكْرِهِ, and from the means of establishing His remembrance. كَمَا فِي الْحَدِيثِ, as has come in the narration, إِذَا مَرَوْتُمْ بِرِيَالِ الْجَنَّةِ فَرْتَعُوا, and if you pass by the gardens of paradise, then partake therein and benefit. قِيلَ, it was said, وَمَا رِيَالُ الْجَنَّةِ, what are the gardens of paradise? قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ حِلَقُ الذِّكْرِ, the Prophet صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ, he mentioned the gatherings of dhikr, and he meaning the gatherings of knowledge. The gatherings of knowledge. The Shaykh, he says, وَالْمَرَادُ بِحِلَقِ الذِّكْرِ, وَالْمَرَادُ بِحِلَقِ الذِّكْرِ, and that which is intended from the circles of dhikr, أي مَجَالِسُ الْعِلْمِ, meaning the gatherings of knowledge. التي يبين فيها الحلال والحرام وتوضح فيها الأحكام ويعرف الناس بربهم سبحانه وتعالى وبأسمائه وصفاته وبأوامره ونواهيه. He says they are the gatherings of knowledge where the halal and the haram is clarified. The meaning of what is intended from حلق الذكر, حلق الذكر, the circles of ذكر, the circles of remembrance, they are majalisul ilm, they are the gatherings of knowledge where the halal and the haram are clarified, and the rulings likewise as well are clarified, and the people learn about their Lord, about His names and His attributes, and about His commandments and prohibitions, and about His commandments and prohibitions. So this is from the first and most important means to cleanse the heart and to purify it, for the heart to be sound and firm and good, that a person, he will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala often, remembering Allah azza wa jalla in the manner prescribed, in the manner legislated, in the manner pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without any transgression going beyond the limits, and likewise without being deficient and being negligent in that affair. So to remember Allah often and to be constant in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a sign that the heart is sound and a sign that the heart is good. And to fall heedless of the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal is a sign that the heart is corrupted, and a sign that the heart is deficient, and a sign that the heart has been affected with doubts and misconceptions, or with the lusts and sins that are impermissible, with lusts and sins that are impermissible. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he has a work called Al-Wabil As-Sayyib, yani a very great and beneficial work with regards to the Athkar, yani all throughout the day, yani the Athkar that have come in the authentic Sunnah. Al-Wabil As-Sayyib, Wa Rafi' Al-Kalim Al-Tayyib, yani the Wabil As-Sayyib, Wa Rafi' Al-Kalim Al-Tayyib. This is a work by Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala. It's in one volume, and it's not large like some of his other works, and it's not small likewise. It's a moderate size volume, and it's very, very beneficial with regards to the affairs of the Adhkar. And in the introduction or the beginning of that, he mentioned benefits of the dhikr, the benefits of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he mentioned that there are more than 100, and he counted one after another, over 70 benefits. And from the benefits of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he mentioned likewise that the dhikr is different types and different aspects. And he mentioned this issue and this work here, and likewise in another work called Madarij As-Sarikin, in the Manzila al-Dhikr. And then likewise in the other work that he has is called Jala al-Afham. And this is a work, it's one volume, it's very thick. One volume is very thick, and it's all about the benefits and rulings related to the giving the salah and the salam on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He discussed these issues here, and we mentioned them in a summarized and brief manner. How long do we have before the adhan? Right now? Huh? 1 minute. So we save that inshallah for our next class. We begin there. Actually, these benefits by Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala and these different works, I had summarized them last week for the class for the youth. We're beginning a new book with them, inshallah, every Wednesday after Asr, Mukhtasar al-Adhkar wal-Adab, the summarized work of the Adhkar and the manners and etiquettes, any from the Mutun Talib al-Ilm. And we didn't have an opportunity to actually study them in our previous class with the youth, but we begin inshallah on Wednesday, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, and we'll take those same benefits and with more detail. I was going to summarize them even more this evening because of the fact that they're very suitable to go along with the point that we're discussing now. So inshallah we save that for the next class so that we do not begin something and not have time to finish it. So if anyone has any comments or corrections or questions, we can take them now while we're waiting for the iqama. And if not, then we can review. Now,
If the heart is dead, will it have a sweet taste or a sour taste?
The heart. If the heart is dead,
yes.
Yeah, there will not be any sweet taste. Allah knows best. Or maybe he will think it's sweet, but in reality it's not sweet. He will not be able to identify. The dead heart is the heart of the disbeliever. The dead heart is the heart of the disbeliever. So the heart that is dead is the heart that is void of faith. The heart that is void of faith. It has no iman whatsoever. A heart that does not believe in Allah in the last day. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. This is called the dead. This is the dead heart. This is the dead heart. As for the sound heart, then this is the heart of a true believer. And as for the sick heart, then this is the heart of a weak believer. So the faith, it has a sweetness. And it's tasted with the heart. Just as food, it has a sweetness that's tasted with the tongue. But if the person becomes sick, then many times he will not be able to taste the sweetest of foods. And it will seem bland to him. Or even he will reject it and he will not like it. If he gets sick, physically sick, then this is the case many times. You try to eat something sweet, you can't taste it, or it doesn't taste good. Or even maybe sometimes a person, he'll eat it and then he will throw it up and reject it. His body will not accept it. So he'll not be able to know that which is good or to taste the sweetness of the food because his body's sick. So likewise, if the heart becomes sick, it's similar. A person, he'll not be able to taste the sweetness of faith. He'll not be able to taste the sweetness of faith. Maybe he would even start to find sweetness in that which is not really sweet. And he will begin to choose and prefer disbelief or actions of disbelief, actions of disobedience and rebellion, because he's not able to identify that which is truly good and that which is bad. That which is bad. Wallahu a'lam. No.
To avoid having a sick heart,
taking the means of avoiding all of those avenues. First, by learning, you have to learn the Deen of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala and respond to the call of Allah and His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and strive against your soul to establish the religion properly, along with putting your faith and trust in Allah, calling on Him in the morning and evening to make your heart firm, to purify your soul, to make you strong, and to keep you away from deviation and evil. And then you have to take the means to do that, avoiding sins and actions of disobedience, and avoiding the people who are involved in that and the places where that occurs, in order to remain steadfast. Then you have to close the avenues and pathways that lead to the corruption of the heart, from looking and listening to the innovators or the deviants or the misguided or just anyone, or from looking and listening to the people who are tried with sins likewise and overcome with the love of this life. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.